Just 2 days ago, we began to explore together the world of Kli Seuda, the first of the three conditions that the Gemara here has in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, Rav Nachman says, there is no requirement that it be used. There is no requirement for Keilim Yishanim, but there are three other requirements, two of which Rav Nachman formulates. The first one that Rav Nachman formulates is Klei Seuda. So the last Chabur, we spoke about two aspects of Klei Seuda. Number one, the need for contact. Klei Seuda means that the Klei is directly touching the food in the course of its interaction, the course of its impact on the food. And number two, we spoke about the role, or the role of the Klei, the stage of the food. Eating food, preparing food, storing food, preparing early stages of preparation. We're going to go on to two more issues in the world of Klei Seuda, issues three and four. Issue number three, talk about briefly, but it's also going to bring us back to the end of what we talked about last time, the discussion about the stage of the food. Sage pointed out we had not done injustice, and he was correct. So let's begin. Again, we already spoke about the need for contact and the role of the Kli, or the stage of the food. So let's begin by going weiter, aspect number three of Klei Seuda, is you could call after contact, and role is a question of percentage. As in, let's say I have a Kli that could be used for Klei Seuda, but is it actually used for Klei Seuda? What do I actually do with that? So, the Easter of Heter, Rabbi Yonah the Ashkenazi, and the Easter of Heter talks about this. The Ramah quotes in Sif Ches. We're not officially up to Sif Ches yet. Sif Ches is officially in the Sif Ches is officially in the territory of a different condition, the condition of the ownership history, which we'll get to. But the Ramah in Sif Ches does make an important point here too. It's relevant to us. It talks about a knife, without getting into the full context, so we'll get to more when we talk about questions of buying it from the Nachri. You have a knife meant for or intended for chatichas kalafin, cutting parchment. It's a knife. I don't intend to cut through it. It's for cutting parchment. So Ramo makes a comment that you have this knife that's intended for cutting parchment. It's also l'shtameish bo l'tzarech esud afilu derech aroi below tevila. Af al pi shalakacho l'tzarech klafim. You bought the knife for the purpose of cutting paper or cutting parchment. Okay, so it doesn't take you a lot of cut parchment without tovelin. But if you're even occasionally going to use it to peel your orange, or to slice your banana, or to, trim your pastrami, so then even a bedarach haroi, that is a problem. So that's an important point that the Ramah is making, based on the Yisra Heter, that when we talk about Klei Seuda, that even means occasional use. And that's the question of percentage. How much of the use of this Kli is for Klei Seuda? Even if it's only occasional, that's the problem. That's the problem. Not everyone agrees. Many achronim disagree. The Prichad Asherei disagrees, one of the earlier achronim, and then the Pischei Tshuva and Sikkat and Vav. Quotes a Tshuva's Shev Yaakov. Sikkat and Vav is back in our territory. Sifhei. Kalim on the Gibbon in the town of Elochim, Imaim, Chamishabal, Lelishos, Isos, Hapas. He says, you have something attached to some sort of water container that sounds like it hangs on or is hooked onto the stove, so it, onto the oven, so that the water there heats up. It's usually used for some technical stage in terms of making bread dough. He says, even if you don't have to tovel it, even though it's metal. After pe'amim shofchem imayim chamish about te. Mikol mekam hochem achar rov tashmisha. Rav Yaakov disagrees with the Ramah. He says you have this water heater that's usually not used for food purposes. Every once in a while you use it to make tea. But usually the kettle is used for other things. So the Rav Yaakov says, you don't have to tovel it. You don't have to tovel it even though you're going to use it for tea. Unlike the Ramah who said, this needs to have to even hishtamshus harai is a problem, the Rav Yaakov says, no. Holchan achar rov tashmisho. There is a not exactly parallel conversation by Hechsher Kalim. Post can point out this is independent. Hechsher Kalim, I usually use the kli in one, I usually use it with water. Occasionally I use it dry. Do I need Haggadah? Do I need Liban? So the Mechaber Ramah have a debate when they discuss Hechsher Kalim about that. And this is not necessarily the same thing. The Ramah says that we do not follow Rov Tashmisho Lahakel. Even if a small percentage of the time using it for Tashmish Seuda, that's already for that moment the Kli Seuda. But the Rav Yaakov says no. If it's usually not used for Tashmish Seuda, then you don't have to tovel even though you occasionally do. The Yad Ephraim on the side of Shulchan Aruch also has a conversation about this. He quotes this and then goes on to talk about some other similar examples. And he says that's definitely the common practice.
Which is the common practice?
That's what the Yad Ephraim says. That we don't... He thinks in his time that the common practice was Lahakel. I think nowadays we would the Tova Beli Bracha. I think that's where T. Cohen writes. The Shach, though, going back to Ramon Sif Ches, says let's leave the Shach aside. Okay, so we have this again in any event, so we have Machlokas Acharonim, it goes back to late Rishonim, about the third dimension of Klei Suda, and that is if it's only occasionally used for Klei Suda. Ramah says Chayiv, Rav Yaakov and others say Pater, Pri Chadosh says Pater, and I think nowadays we assume that it's Misafek, Yertovo Beli Bracha. This is relevant to where we left off last time also, potentially. Last time we were discussing again, number one, the question of contact, and number two, the question of the role of the kli, or the stage of the food. And you'll remember that we had spoken about the chiddush of the Mordechai. The Mordechai had a diak in the Gemara in Chulin, the Ches, that a sakin shel shchita does not require tevilas kelim. Not everyone agrees. We spoke last time on the page in the Beis Yosef that quote, the Darkei Moshe quotes Marash, Tashbetz, disagree. I neglected to point out the Bir Hagra quotes a number of important, famous Svardi Rishonim who also disagree. Sif, Katan, Yud Gimel. Sif, Katan, Yud Gimel. Rabbi Yon, Rambani has a longer list. So there are those who disagree. We spoke last time. Mordechai's Diyuk. You definitely wiggle out of the Mordechai's diyuk in the Gemara. Okay, but the Mordechai holds sakra shashchita is pater from tefillah, others hold chayiv. And the Ramah says, misafek, a tovah bo bracha. Good. And that again, what was unique about sakra shashchita, the Mordechai had explained, was that it is clearly critical for food preparation. If you want to eat meat, you can't eat meat without shechting it. But at the same time, it's a very early stage in the preparation. By the time the sakin is done, the meat is still far from edible. Unlike a pot or a pan, where by the time it goes in raw, but it comes out ready to eat, sakin shechita is very, very early. So the Mordechai understood from the Gemara and Chulin that that's not called klei suda, and others disagree. And we left off with this interesting problem that the Shach saw in the Ramah, because the Ramah says sakin shechita is Safik, Tovah Blor Bracha, And then he seems to go on to say that a similar case, that Barzalim, I have the metal tools that I use to prepare the matzah dough, so that is, that does not require tefillah. So Shach says, I don't understand. You just told me the Takat Shoshkit is a suffix. So why are you telling me the Barzalim don't require tefillah, bevada? How is that different? So he left off last time with the Shach. The Shach's teretz is, well, there's a chilek. Takat Shoshkit, I don't intend to use it for edible food, but you could. It's a knife. You could cut, if you wanted to slice apples with a shchita knife, it would slice them very, very well. You wouldn't want to. You keep your shchita knife for shchita, but you could. So that's why there it's tovah b'lo brach. But the shach says, but the radlers that you use to roll out, to puncture the matzah dough, there's nothing else to do with them. There is nothing else to do with them. I think I mentioned last time, another example of that is a meat tenderizer. Unless you have a matzah bakery in your house, you're not necessarily handling radlers. You have a meat tenderizer that you use to, a wooden mallet with a metal face you use to pound out raw meat or to pound out raw schnitzel. There's nothing else to do in the kitchen with that, I think, other than handling, tenderizing raw meat or chicken.
Nothing clay suda.
Yes, nothing clay suda. That's right. If you're fixing things around the house, you may have used, you probably wouldn't want to use a metal-faced wooden mallet, but certainly no other tashmish suda other than raw meat. So that's another example of this category of the shachar. The shach would say meat tenderizers, even though they're metal-faced, they are absolutely putter. It should be noted, though, that the Taz disagrees. The Taz says, no, it's all the same. It's all the same. A little dachuk in the language of the Ramah. He says, no, the Ramah was just quoting that there are those who say that similarly the Barzalim are putter. The Azar Sharei quoted it. But halacha l'maisa, it's the same as Sakash Shechita, Yesharim Chayiv, Yesharim Putter. And halacha l'maisa, tova below bracha. It's a difficult read in the Ramah. It may be a little smoother if you look back in the Darkei Moshe. But the Gra points out that, and the Sage had pressed on, and there's more to say. The Gra points out, Sage had pressed on this, Yeshua pressed on this, it's, Shach is very difficult. Shach is very difficult for a couple of reasons. Number one, Yeshua pointed out, Shach is very difficult because you're not supposed to use, not just, I probably won't use my shchit knife for tomatoes and peppers and carrots. You're not supposed to. That's what it says in the Masechet Chulin. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You're supposed to reserve your shchita knife only for shchita. So, al pidin, it's the same as the radler or the meat tenderizer. So it's hard to make that chil. Okay, but physically it could be used, but... Okay, so that's number one. It's a little bit difficult to make that chil. Number two, the Gra points out, the conversation we just had about percentages. The Ramah says if occasionally you use it for Tashmish Suda, you got to tovel it. And the Shav Yaakov Prichar says, no, only if you usually use it for Tashmish Suda. But what they both agree to is that what we're looking at is practically what do you use it for? We're not looking at theoretically what you could use it for. The Shach himself says something somewhat similar. And actually, back in Sifches, in Sifches, in Yedzayim, he says, if I have a knife that I did buy for food, but then I changed my mind, I'm going to use it for paper. So he says, hey, go ahead and use it for paper. Do you have to tovel it? No, because using it for paper is not Tashmir Suda. So the Shach himself seems to say, I'm looking at what I'm actually using it for. See, if you don't think that handling raw food is a Tashmir Suda, then either it is a Tashmir Suda or it's not a Tashmir Suda. But I don't care about the fact that I could use it for cooked food. Either look at what you're actually using it for. I'm actually using this shechita knife only for the animal. So, according to many Rishonim, shechting an animal is Tashmir Suda. According to Mordechai, it's not. But either it is or it isn't. It's the same as the Barzalim. I don't care what I could use it for. I care what I do use it for. The Ramah says, I even look at what I occasionally use it for. While the Prichadash and the Shev Yaakov say, no, only what you usually use it for. But no one's looking at what you hypothetically could use it for. We're looking at what you actually do. As the Gra says in his typical terse fashion, Sif Katan Yudalit, Ein Hochen Kan Achar Haroi, El Achar Atashmesh. We don't follow what could be, we follow what you actually do. He says, Ein Sif Ches. Presumably reference that Ramah. Even the Ramah only said you have to Tovla because you occasionally use it for Tashmesh Suda. And ironically, the Shach himself on that Ramah seems to make that point. So it's a difficult Shach, and I would add an additional Hasaga on the Shach. In addition to the two that the Gra makes, number one, that you don't use Shechita knives, and Al Pidin, you shouldn't use Shechita knives for anything, and moreover, you see from Sifches that we only look at what we actually use it for, and ironically, the Shach himself in Sifches seems to agree. But a third Hasaga is the following. What was the whole mucker of this idea that maybe early stage food preparation isn't Tashmer Suda? What was the mucker? Sakan Shashrita, right? The Mordechai had a diyuk in the Gemara Chulin. That what? That a Shechita knife is potter. So, how could you argue that a Shechita, maybe a Shechita knife is chayiv, but the radlers are potter? The whole paradigm, the whole source, is a Shechita knife. Either a Shechita knife is chayiv or potter. How could you say a Shechita knife is chayiv, but there are things which are potter? Mechatesi. Do you have a Gemara that talks about matzah radlers? No. You have a Gemara that maybe talks about Shechita knives. There are talks about Shechita knives, and maybe implying that they don't need tefillah. So for all three reasons, the Shach is very difficult. The Shach is not the only one who says it. The Chachma Z'Adam quotes him. The Chachma Z'Adam does quote the Shach. But the Taz disagrees, the Gerard disagrees, the Tzvi Kohn also disagrees. He assumes, for instance, that meat tenderizers do need tefillah, bali bracha. So that wraps up the first three aspects of Klei Seuda. Number one, the question of contact, which we'll come back to in a moment. Number two, the question of the role of the Klei, the stage of the food. And number three, the question of percentages. Let's talk about the fourth and the final, at least for now, final aspect of Klei Seuda. And that takes us first into the world of the next Tanai. The next Tanai, another Tanai, is a Tanai that Rabbi Yochanan formulates in the Gemara, which is Klei Matchos Amurim B'Parsha. The Gemara tells a story, Yitzchak by Yosef had bought a Klei made of some sort of earthenware, not very palatable, if you look at Rashi, it may have been made in part from manure. Some sort of earthenware, let's say. He was going to tovel it. No, Rabbi Yochanan said that you only have to tovel metal kelim. No. And then the Gemara goes on to say that Rabbi Yochanan also, Rashi goes on to say that glass also requires tevila. It's similar enough to metal. Just like metal is fixed, can be broken and refixed. Glass also can be melted down and refixed. So glass, midrabanan, is also included. Okay. Then the Gemara concludes this discussion about materials with a conversation about a coated ceramic. Kunya. Kunya, Rashi tells you, is that you have a ceramic core, you have a kli cheres, and you coat it with lead. Not something that we would ever want to do bizman as that for our health considerations. But we do plate ceramic sometimes with other metals, and metal plated, more generally metal plated. Rashi says it's plumer. Plumer is from the Latin for lead. But metal plated cable. Presumably it's cheaper to do this. Instead of the entire cleave being out of metal, you have a ceramic core, and you're just going to have a thin layer of metal applied to the outside. The question is, what's the status of that? Machlik samaroim. And we pass in kisofo, meaning the second stage, meaning if it's metal on the outside, so then you're chayv. Metal on the outside, you're chayv. Tosis makes 2 points about this. Number one, Tosis says in the Hilchos that it has to be that it's plated on the inside, or outside, inside, meaning there's a ceramic core, But let's say, I can borrow that for a moment. So I could take this ceramic cup or bowl and dip it in the metal. It's coated all around, both on the inside of the bowl and the outside of the bowl. Or I could just apply a metal coating to the exterior, but not the where the food touches the bowl. So Tosfos says, no. It has to, the only time the Gemara says chayev is when the inner surface of the cup or bowl is coated inside, is coated with the metal. And Tosfos says, as opposed to a bowl, ceramic bowl that just has a gilding on the exterior, and as opposed to case number two, this classic wooden barrel with the metal bindings on the outside. The metal on the outside. Tosfos says, even though there, it's not just a little bit of, just have a bowl, a ceramic bowl, with a little bit of metal coating on the exterior side. That sounds like it's just mere decoration. It's a Dharm Shalmavaka. Tosfos says, a wooden barrel, could have argued wooden barrel, the metal bindings are not just a little bit of dainty coating. That's what's holding the whole thing together. You take away the metal bindings, it's just a bunch of slats. They fall to the ground. You have no barrel. You have no container whatsoever. You only have the container because the wooden slats are bound together by those stout metal bindings, the metal bands around the outside. Tosfos says, still doesn't matter. Even though I have a Gemara that seems to indicate it does matter, here it doesn't matter. What's the Gemara? You saw a Gemara on Shabbos. Gemara in two places in Masechta Shabbos talks about this notion of Davar HaMamid, where I have a metal piece that's holding the wood together, or a wooden piece that's holding the metal together. And Daf Sama, if the Gemara quotes a Braisa, there's a Mishnah, and Caleb talks about it, and there's a Braisa that expands on this. I have a ring, a signet ring. So either I have a metal ring with a coral inlay, coral chotemet, a coral stamp, or the reverse. I have a coral ring with a metal inlay. So what's the status of that ring? Is that a wooden ring or is that a metal ring? Who cares? Not Tfilas Kelim Shayl. It's not food. It's in the context of Tumah V'Tahara. Why is it around the world of Tumah V'Tahara? Because when we talk about the Dvarim Tumeim, Dvarim just a 30 to 60 second view from 30,000 feet of Tumah V'Tahara, of Kabbalah's Tumah. So when you talk about things, items that are Tameh in the largest sense come in two major categories. The items that are Tameh because of their own status. Mitzora is Tameh because he's a Mitzora. Nida is Tameh because she's a Nida. Evan of Abayis HaManuga, Nevela, Sheretz, a Maze. Yeah. There are a whole list of 10, 15 or so items that are Tameh because of who or what they are. People who are Tameh because of their status, or things which are Tameh because of what they are. Those are called Avos HaTumah. They're sources of Tumah. They're Tameh in and of themselves. And then, the other major category of things that are Tameh not because they themselves are sources of Tumah, because they caught it from something else. They're Mekabel the Tumah from something else. A Vlad HaTumah. You may remember this Chiluk from Bava Kama Daf Beis Amud Aleph, or from learning Taurus, alternatively. And when we talk about things that are makabel tumah from something else, the first parak of Kalim is in part a list of all the avos hatumah, all the things that are tamei, sources of tumah, they're tamei in of themselves, and the Tanam draw it from the Mishnah, from the Psukim, and the Tanam organize them in a scale, from least severe to most severe. Then you have the rest of Masechta Kalim. And you have several other Masechtas and Seder Taurus, like Uktzin. They're dedicated to the rules that govern things that are makabel tumah. What things can be makabel tumah? Four categories of things in the world can be makabel tumah. Adam, Kalim, Ochlim, and Mashkim can be start life tahar and become tameh because they caught the tumah from some other davar tameh, from some ava tumah or from some other vlada tumah. Each of those four things, Adam, Kalim, Ochlim, and Mashkim, has its own rules and regulations in terms of, you know, which Adam, when is Adam makabel tumah or not? Which sort of kalim, what sort of food, and so on and so forth. And none of the Masechtas in Seder Taurus are dedicated to the rules of makabel tumah. Machshirin is and Uksin is, and certainly the last 29 prakim of Maseches Kelim are dedicated to which Kelim are kabbalah to which Kelim are not. And again, after that first introductory parak, the last 29 prakim are about Kelim lekabbalas tuma, and the Masechta is largely organized by material, because Tanam draw from the Psukim Chumash that there are some materials that Kelim made for those materials not mekabel tuma at all, like stone. Among the materials which are makabel tuma, like clay cheres, the gadim, clay eight, clay mateches, so each one, each material has its own rules. When it became makabel tuma, when not. So that's why it's important to know, I have a ring, is this ring, and this ring is a composite, it's a multi-material ring, it's made out of both metal and coral, which Rashi says we treat as wood. Do I treat it as a wood clay or a metal clay? So it's going to be relevant. So Mishnah says, for instance, a wooden clay is only mekabel tumah if it has a container. A metal clay can mekabel tumah if it has no container. If a metal knife is mekabel tumah, a wooden knife is not mekabel tumah. How about a ring? A ring is probably not, it's not mekabel anything, can't hold anything in a ring. You slip it onto your finger. It's not a clay kibbol. So if it's wood, it's not mekabel tumah. If it's metal, it is. What's the status of a multi-material ring? So it's machlokas ha-tanam in the Braisa, whether you say, look, the Nehemiah thing says, look, the whole point of the signet ring is for the signet. The item, the piece that's inlaid like a jewel into the ring. So Nehemiah says you should be kaveh the shem ha-kli, the status of kli based on the inlay. And the Chacham say, no, hakohol ha-achar ha-maimit. The inlay is very nice, but without the ring, it just rolls away. What's giving it support, what holds it together, is the ring itself. So you can follow the ring itself. That's on Daf Samach. On Daf Tezvav, earlier the Gemara raises this issue in the context of you have a glass kli that you got a hole and you put metal in to stop up the hole. You plugged the hole, you patched it with metal. So then also the Gemara says, the metal, it's a glass kli, but without the metal plug, it wouldn't hold anything. It would just drain out. So that if you say ha'chachar ha'maimid, we should call it a metal kli, not a glass kli. Tosa says, ha'chachar ha'maimid, I have this wooden barrel with the metal bands around it. The maimid is the metal bands. Chacham say ha'chachar ha'maimid. Tosa says, it's irrelevant because that's not how tefillah's kelim works. That ha'chachar ha'maimid is relevant to... It's relevant to Kabbalah's Tumma, but it's irrelevant to Tevilah's Kelim. The Rush also says that. The Rush adds, you don't have to tovel the barrel. Number one, what Tosa says, Tevilah's Kelim is different. Number two, he says, who says we paskin? It's machlokas hatanah. You peek in the Ran already tips, you get the feeling when you learn Tosa and the Rush that they're disagreeing with someone. They're like a sheep that they're coming to. No. Don't think you have to tovel the barrel. You look in the Ran, he already says, the machlokas misafik, you should tovel bli bracha. You look in the Mordechai tells you who it is who disagrees. Mordechai tells you, my Rebbe, the Maharam of Rudenburg, disagree. He quotes Tosis. Mordechai begins Tosis. Yeah, like the Rush, that you don't have to tovel Yeshua, you don't have to tovel it. Number one, who says we follow Maimed? And even if we do, that's by Kabbal's Tumah, that's not here. He says, but my Rebbe the Mordechai, the Mordechai quotes, says, no, we do follow Maimid, and there's no difference between Kabbalah's Tumah, the world of Kabbalah's Tumah, and the world of Tevilah's Kelim. What's the issue about whether there's a difference or not? So Tosva says, because it's very nice, even if it's alcohol chachar maimid, so maybe the status of this kli is a kli matachas, but you're not mishtamish, a very rich phrase, you're not mishtamish derech hamatachas. You're not doing the shishtamish, you're not using it through the metal. What does that mean? I mean, it's a kli suda, it's a barrel, you put wine in it. If you had a fully metal barrel, it would be chayim tzvil kayim. So it's a barrel, that's kli suda. And it's a metal kli. If you hold a hakolah ha-maimed, it's a metal kli. So it's a metal kli, and it's a kli suda. What's wrong? So the Chara, what Tosis is saying is that those two conditions are not separate conditions. They're integrated. The Maram says, look, it's a metal kli al pidin because the Chal Hashem is nikba by the maimed. So since it's held together by metal, that's what it is. And sikli sudo, because you're putting wine in the barrel. The barrel is touching the wine. Okay. So this kli requires tefillah. It checks box number one and checks box number two. Tosas Lachar is saying, no, you don't understand. There aren't separate conditions. I need an integration of those two conditions. You have to mishtamesh derech hamateches. What does Tosas mean? The Tosas, by saying mishtamesh, what he means is, this Tosas is number one, we had spoken last time, we spoke about contact. Part of Klei Suda is you have to have contact with the food. It's a ruah, it's a smock, it's also a Tosas. It's a Tosas saying here. If there's no contact, then that's not kol hishtam shesuda. But he says it's not enough that the kli contacts the food. The metal shabo has to contact the food. So here I have a wooden barrel with metal bindings. Al pi din, it is a metal kli. It's makabel tumah like a metal kli. If you hold hakala hamayim, that's nice. But where's the tashmish suda? Well, the barrel touches the wine, but the metal part doesn't touch the wine. So Maram says, who cares? The barrel is considered a metal kli, and the barrel as a whole, which overall is called a metal kli, touches the wine. But the Tosfos says, no, I need the metal shabo has to itself be doing the ishtamshus. So that's l'chor, that's again, as I was saying before, are these two separate conditions, that's what the Maram says, or are they two conditions integrated? I need interplay between, has to be kli su'uda in the matacha shabo. So that's... So that's the machlokas hatanan. That's the machlokas harishonim between Tosfos and the Maharam. That's why the Mordechai says, "What does it matter?" You have a Gemara in Daf Samach talks about the maimed on the outside. The Gemara in Daf Tezvav with the glass that was patched with the metal there, it's touching on the inside. The Maharam says it's all the same. By the way, Tosin Tezvav doesn't think it's all the same, even the world of Maimed. But I'll come upon him. So that's a machlokas, and that's sort of our fourth issue in terms of aspects of defining Kli Suda. Number one is contact. Number two is the role of the stage, the impact of the Kli. Number three is question of percentage. I need Rov Tashmisho Lusuda or even Tashmish Arai. And this fourth issue is, does the Tashmish Suda have to be with the metal part? In a multi-part kli, even if overall I would say the kli as a whole is metal, but does the tashmish suda have to be happening with the metal part? Does the metal part have to be in contact? So that's the machlokas Tosfos and Mordechai. How do we paskin? So Shulchan Aruch Sif Vav says Eino Tarn Tefila. Tosfos. Boom. Eino Tarn Tefila. The Shach says that's a surprising talk by the Shulchan Aruch, especially since those who have been in the Chabur for a while are already more comfortable with this. It's your first year, so you're still getting used to the way the Rav Yosef Karo's Sfarim work together. The Rav Yosef Karo wrote the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam to give the Maram Kemis for what the Rambam says, and he wrote a far more extensive Beis Yosef on the tour to give the whole background of the Sugya, and then he wrote the Shulchan Aruch. And we're already beginning to see that they work together. That just to learn Shulchan Aruch without any preliminary, you're sort of missing all the context. Usually, you see in the Beis Yosef, Yosef Karo laid out the whole sugya. Then, the one line of Shulchan Aruch is just like the last line of the paragraph of the Beis Yosef. I gave the whole sugya, and here's how we paskin. Usually, it's coherent. Sometimes in the Beis Yosef himself, he'll tell you how he paskin, then he writes the same thing in Shulchan Aruch. Sometimes he doesn't tell you how he paskin, just quotes Rishonim, and then in Shulchan Aruch, he gives the bottom line. But the Shach points out here is something went funny. It says in the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo said, Suffolk, we should be machmer for the Maram Wurttemberg, tova blow bracha. In a case where it's the metal is ma'amidit, but the metal doesn't touch the food. The Maram said chayiv. Tosa said pater. The Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo written the Beis Yosef, tova misafik. And the Shach was others, that's what the Darkei Moshe written, and Maharil, Yisr v'Heter. So it says, interesting that Shulchan Aruch, apparently, Beis Yosef Karo changed his mind. Okay, he's entitled to do that. He wrote Shulchan Aruch later than the Beis Yosef. So right, he wrote the Beis Yosef, he thought it was, he wasn't convinced. Seems like by the time he got around to writing Shulchan Aruch a couple years later, he had been convinced by the position of Tosis that you need integration. And if the metal part doesn't touch the food, then it's Vadai Eino Tam Tefila. The Ashkenazim certainly, I think, would be Tovel. Will be Tovel below Bracha. Then finally, this issue of the integration is further developed in Sif Zayin. How do you make sense of Sif Zayin? Shulchan Aruch quotes, Kos shel kesef mechubar b'kliyeitz tzarich tefila. I have a metal of a silver becher attached to wood. It does require tefila. It does require tefila. It does require tefila. Is that surprising? Is that surprising? How does that fit into the categories that we have? So often you say, look, once again, and now we're once again in the world of multi-material kalim, and said, if the metal part doesn't touch the food, so even though the metal part is significant, that's the machlokas tosas mara. But here the metal part does, right? I have a silver clay, touch it, obviously, it has some sort of wood attached to it. Sounds like some hatsorfim item, some silver metal combinations. I don't know, I have some sort of framework around it. Okay, it's a metal. It's a clean with metal. The metal is touching the wine. What could be better? Of course, you're chai. Now the Shach says, Shulchan Aruch once again, as in Sifav and Sif Zayin also just says tzarich tefila. Sifav he just said eno tzarich tefila. It sounded like absolutely in tzarich tefila. Here he says tzarich tefila. So Shach says it sounds like with a bracha. And he says even though this array was discussed in Turim Beis Yosef. Yosekar himself, Beis Yosef, said you're tovel below bracha. So how do you make sense of that? And question number two, why shouldn't you be chayv? So the Shach says that different types of metal wood combinations. Good. Now the metal's on the inside, the metal's in contact with the food or the drink. Good. So we don't have to worry about Tosis's consideration. But there's a different consideration. He says this is a full photo negative. The case that where we say tovo below bracha is the exact inverse of the chashukim shel barzal. It's where there's metal on the inside, but you need the wood to hold it together. That's what the Shach says. He says when the mechaber said in Siv Zayin vaday chayiv, that's where I have a fully functional metal becher and I have wood on the outside. Maybe a. It gives it nicer grooves, a more ergonomic handle, I don't know, decorative, whatever. But it's a fully functional metal becher. It can stand on its own, just a metal piece. And there's added wood parts. So that's vaday chayiv. What's not to like? It's a metal kli, directly in contact with the food. Vaday chayiv. Shach says, you know what's a suffix? It's a suffix. When you need the wood to hold the metal together. The exact inverse of the barrel. It's a metal inside, but without the... Well, let's say you have metal silver plates. If a wooden cup, well, silver plates attached to it. So the Shach says, that's a suffix. Because there the wood is the maimon. So now, remember the Rush had said there were two issues with the barrel. Number one, what Tosis had raised, maybe for Kli Suda, you had the metal to touch the food. But number two, there's an open question the Rush had said, do we, Machlokas HaTanaim, Holchan Achar Maimon, Ein Holchan Achar Maimon. So the Shach says, look, if that metal parts are held together by wood, if you're Holchan Achar Maimon, so then this is a Kli Eitz. It's nice it has metal parts, but I'll be then the status of this kli is the kli eitz. So maybe it's potter, or maybe I know chamayim. So that's why. So again, if you have a kli that where the metal holds holds it together, but the contact is with wood. So that's a machlokas. That's a machlokas in Sif Vav. And Lamaisa the Shach indicates. About that Sif Vav, about the barrel. And we would say we're machmir to Tovo Babli Bracha. The reverse, if they're metal parts, but it would fall apart without the wooden outside, also be Tovo Babli Bracha. And I think this would come of a more contemporary situation, is commuter mugs. Those mugs that you can take your tea or coffee or hot cocoa, whatever it is, in. And oftentimes they're basically plastic, but the inside is metal or glass because they don't want either to help insulate or because you don't want people who are uncomfortable with their hot liquids in contact with plastic. So I have like an inlay of stainless steel, or have an inlay of glass. But it's basically a plastic leaf. So it depends. If it's, if you really have a silver cup, a metal cup with a plastic decorative on the outside, plastic handle, what have you, then it's chayiv, vaday, with a bracha. But if it's basically a plastic mug, and it has a thin layer of metal that couldn't operate on its own, particularly the separate pieces of metal, so that's what the Shach would say, yechayiv tetovo, beli bracha. That's a kos shel kesef that needs the wood to hold it together. Okay. And then a couple of more points that the Ramah makes here that are intriguing. Ramah quotes that the earlier Chachmei Ashkenaz and Mordechai and others have also been talking about a pepper mill. Rechaim shel pilpun. Shemsocha eitz. You have a wooden case, and inside the business end of things, the actual grinder, is metal. Ish barzel kavua tochnimbo, that needs to be tovel. So there you have metal funnel, it needs to be tovel. So what's so significant here? What's the issue? Of course, you have a pepper mill, so it needs to be tovel. Okay, it's a metal grinder. Talk quotes from the Yaakov Emden, how about a coffee grinder? Oh, the coffee grinder, he says, that's Chai Betvila B'li Bracha. And Kivager says, yeah, that's the Taz that we spoke about before. Because coffee beans, even when you're done grinding them, they're still not ready to eat. Unless you're that yeshiva bacher who can't be bothered to add water and just has his coffee grind straight. Okay, but Rim Kivager apparently was not so yeshivish. Fairish. You heard it here first. And by the way, I mean, Kivager is also, you can add Kivager to the list of those who align with the Taz rather than the Shach with which we open. But if it's pepper, so ground, as soon as you grind the pepper, it's ready to eat. You can add it to your food and eat it. It's good to go. So what's the Chiddush? So, I mean, the Chiddush might be that even though you can't see the metal parts, so you just see a wooden casing. But inside, what's going on inside is metal. There may also be another element to it. What's going on is, even though it's not near Le'inayim, and one final point, and this brings us back to something else we discussed last time about the can openers. Ramah goes on to talk about the funnels. It says you have a metal funnel, iron funnel, iron tubing, it requires tefillah. What's the chiddush in that? Not sure there's such an intense chiddush in that per se. Maybe the chiddush is, along the lines of what the Gra says, it's not such a significant contribution. It's not preparing the food. It's not, this says there's a discussion about storage. It's not even storing the food. The funnel allows you to pour from bottle number one to bottle number two. Maybe I would have said, that's called a klisu. I'm not eating, I'm not preparing, I'm not even storing, I'm just transferring. Okay. Ramah says, even that type of lighter tashmish also is considered to be tashmish sudah. But he's also
heading, setting up a foil to what he says subsequently. Funnel is chayiv if the whole funnel is metal. But let's say you have a wooden funnel that just has a metal tip on the bottom. Dafka she'ikra kliu shal matefes. But if it's basically wood, ma'at barzel kavua bo, the way the Shach describes, sort of you lengthen the bottom tip of the narrow part of the funnel with a metal tip. So then, you're pater. Then you're pater. Interesting. And that's actually fascinating. The Shach says, well, why? The wine is flowing through the metal. The wine is in direct contact with the metal. No? Not a wooden. It's wood, and then the bottom is metal. So it flows by the wood, it flows by the metal. So, isn't that chai? Metal, direct contact. If you think that funneling is a hishtamshus of suda, so you're funneling through both the wood and the metal. So the Shach says, no, that piece of metal is batal. That's not a davar ma'amid. That's not davar ma'amid. The metal is absolutely batal. In other words, it's unnecessary. This is basically a wooden cleat. It's a little bit of a metal tip. It would work without it also. The metal part is unnecessary. It's incidental. That name makes it a little bit easier. But it's incidental. It's similar to the svar that we had discussed with the can opener. The Shach had discussed about the barrel puncturer, the end of Sifkat Yudal. There may incidentally be contact with the wine when you use this metal awl or whatever it is to pop a hole in the wine barrel. But that's incidental to the function. That's not critical at all to the function. I have a can opener. The point is just to cut through the metal can. It may end up often splashing against the food may inside or the liquid may splash against the can opener, but that's not central to its function. That's the same here also. The is very similar type of svara that the metal tip is not at all central to the hishtamshus of the funneling. Here it's not exactly the same. The metal tip is batel to the rest of the kli. That's going to come up with coffee mugs also. You'll have times when you have, let's say, like you have a metal rim. It's like the Gemara had spoken about a case where the inside of the mug is plated with metal. But let's say it's just you have a little bit of gilding around the tip. So that's really alpipashas. That's the same as this Ramah and Shach. And then that's really irrelevant, and that is not that's batel. Like the metal tip of the otherwise wooden funnel, and that case would be patur. Okay, so this completes our exploration of Tanai number one of Klei Seuda. We spoke about Klei Seuda in terms of contact, Klei Seuda in terms of the role of the kli, the impact, and the stage of the food. We spoke about in terms of percentage, is it rov tashmisho l'suda, only miyot tashmisho l'suda, and we spoke of this issue of the multi-material kalim. And how Klei Seuda plays out here. This last aspect also brought us in a little bit into Tanai number two, which was from function to material. That has to be Klei Matechas or Klei Zechuchas. Going forward, the Shulchan Aruch goes on Ches, Tes, Yud, Yud Aleph to get deeply involved in Tanai number three, and that's a question of ownership history. Lekuchim and Ha'akum. How does that work? There's a lot to say about that. And B'li Neder, after Yom Tov, that's what we're going to pick up with. And then beyond that, we'll come back to talk some more about Tanai number two, the question of materials. There is more to say about materials, other than just this question of the interaction with the Tashmer Suda. I've got to talk about aluminum. There's a fair amount to talk about in terms of talk about that. That's going to bring us back to Se'if Aleph. And then, as I mentioned, there's also a phantom fourth condition that comes up a lot when you talk about electronic kalim. So we'll talk about that beyond also. And then all this together, Klei Suda, and Lekuchim and Ha'akum, and Mateches and Zechuches, and whatever the fourth phantom tonight is, that's all the first half of Tfilas Kelim. The question of which Kelim, the larger half, question of which Kelim are Chayiv, and then beyond that, we'll come back to talk about both Si'if and Beis and Gimel, as well as the end of the Siman, to talk about, assuming that you're doing Tfilah, what does the process of Tfilah look like? How do you take it to Mikvah and Bracha, and who does it, and Chatzitza, and so on and so forth. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we were, I hope, successful in completing the talk of Klei Suda before we head off to Yom Tov. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Gemar Chassim Ataiva, if I don't see you, we'll be Yom Kippur and Sukkos. Afreilich and Yom Tov, and we will come back to Lekuchem and Ha'akam after Yom Tov. Good shabbos.